and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
I'm Sharad Kutin.
You're watching Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's begin with the latest COVID numbers, shall we? Malaysia reported 57 new COVID-19 cases today. This is the fifth consecutive day of double-digit growth. Now, however, three people also died from the virus today, bringing the death total to 92. According to Health Director General Datuk Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah, six criteria need to be fulfilled before the government can decide to lift the MCO. Now, four of the six criteria are: number one, border control; the movement control; number three, the readiness of the healthcare services system; and number four, the protection of high-risk groups from COVID. Now, the other two that he mentioned are adhering to new norms of social distancing, and most importantly, the public's cooperation with authorities to come up with a soft landing in terms of an exit strategy.
It's fascinating, Melissa, you know, because you see in different countries the way political leaders or health officials manage this transition, right? So many countries, there's a lockdown, and then there's this question of when that's going to be lifted.
That's right.
and how you transit. And you have everything from Donald Trump's rather blundering assertion that he had the right to restart the economy, only to have to change his position 24 hours later, recognizing the nature of the American Constitution suggests actually that it's the governors of the states. But whatever it is, we also have New Zealand, where there is a tiered system. Very interesting, because the guidelines are very, very detailed about what each de-escalation of a lockdown might look like in terms of what would be open, what would be closed, what would be allowed, and what would be encouraged. And so it really is a fascinating discussion, I think, now opened up by this particular announcement.
I'm actually quite glad that he brought this up during the daily briefing, because, you know, while it may seem like a quite broad checklist, I think there's still a lot of uncertainty. I know a lot of people are asking, is the MCO going to be extended yet another time? So this is quite interesting, because it gives us some insight into the thinking of the Ministry of Health. This is how the government is thinking about what they're considering when it comes to an extension of MCO. If we are, you know, if we are able to have this checklist of six items or so, perhaps we might even see, a tiered opening of the country once again.
Yeah, there's also this other question. I think a lot of people need to plan for the future.
That's true.
Businesses in particular, where there is an issue of cash flow, there's a question of workers, a question of rents that they're continuing to pay. If they don't have, and if there's no sense of how this is going to work, and if they're only going to get information on, or we're going to know of an extension on a two-week basis, unlike Singapore, where they went to a whole hog and sort of announced, June 1st
as
the opening.
One whole month, that's right.
So we get it like in little sweet packages of two weeks. Can businesses plan adequately with those kinds of time frames?
I also want to point out that of the six things that he mentioned, Sharad, a couple of them are actually in our control. So we're in control of whether we adhere to the new norms of social distancing. We are in complete control of whether we work with authorities to come up with ways for us to open up once again. So again, this requires the participation of everyone. It's not just the decision of the government.
Yeah, very fascinating. Also, don't throw Kerala in the mix. That's a state in India where public health and, democratization of healthcare for many, many decades has meant that their response to the COVID crisis has set them apart from much of India. And it's perhaps a lesson for many other countries to think about going forward, strengthening grassroots healthcare systems, communities, and so on and so forth. All that perhaps for a conversation after this particular lockdown ends.
Well, even with the significantly reduced number of daily reported cases, Dr. Hisham says that Malaysia's war against the spread of COVID-19 may not even end until a vaccine is found. So tonight on the show, we're going to be discussing the timeline of developing a COVID-19 vaccine and ensuring universal and equitable access to that vaccine. But there are also other news still happening around us as we deal with this pandemic. Now, for one, a Chinese government research ship was spotted last week close to an exploration vessel operated by Petronas. Now, the area it was in is actually close to waters claimed by Malaysia, Vietnam and China. Now, this incident prompted the US State Department to call on China to stop its, quote, bullying behavior in the disputed waters, as well as citing its concern over China's provocative actions at the offshore oil and gas activities of other claimant states. Now, China has denied reports of a standoff, saying that their vessel was conducting normal activities. However, the U.S. has also accused China of taking advantage of the focus on COVID-19 to advance its presence in the South China Sea. Now, this is particularly interesting as China ramps up its COVID diplomacy. China has donated large supplies of medical equipment and other aid to countries, especially within the ASEAN region. Not to mention, a team of Chinese medical experts arrived in Malaysia earlier this week.
Yeah, many Malaysians might be asking, why look at these conflicts or these situations at all? And that, you know, all our focus should be on the pandemic, because the work actually continues despite the pandemic. And, you know, the long-standing disputes of the South China Sea, China's assertion of the Nine-Dash Line and, yes. and its territorial waters, all that remains. The question of, you know, the assertion of the U.S. government that China is using the crisis as cover for these aggressive acts is a very interesting thing, considering, as you say, Melissa, quite rightly, there's also a positive diplomacy on the side of, you know, extending help. But maybe that's not even a contradiction in terms.
No, but in this age of the pandemic, right, how are we going to balance this? The fact that, are these going to be used as bargaining chips? How are we going to work with countries that we have disputes with, or, you know, opposing claims to areas like the Nine-Dash Line, for instance? I mean, are we going to accept aid on one hand and then challenge an international court on the other hand? It's going to be quite an interesting situation, don't you think?
Absolutely, but we can't take our eyes off these many balls that are in the air at the moment. They're all in play. And I think perhaps even as we, you know, double down on the question of vaccines today, this is keep this story in mind.
That's
too.
That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break. After this, we're going to take a closer look at the urgency to develop and distribute a COVID-19 vaccine. So stay tuned to consider this.